verses 7 to 11. Verses 7 to 11. Jeremiah 20. Shall we rise on our feet? And let's read the word of God together. One to go. O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out, I cried violence and spoil. Because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary and forbearing, and I could not stay. For I heard the defaming of many, fear on every side, reports. Say they, that we will report it. All my familiars watched for my halting, saying, peradventure he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, and we will shall take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me, oh, as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore, my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the life in your word. Father, our hearts are opened to receive the spirit of your word today that will transform our lives, enlighten our darkness, and Lord, empower us to take our place in dominion. We give you total glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this message that the Lord has put into my heart today is very, very important. So I am really going to implore you to listen very attentively to what the Spirit of God is saying expressly to the church. This is really very important. I title the message, God's View of Life. God's view of life. Amen. Some years back, there was a situation that happened to a relative of mine. And because of that situation, I began to ask some questions in my heart about really what life is all about. I sent text messages to a few people, friends, family, acquaintances, asking them to send me their own view of life, their own meaning of life, what they think that life is all about. Amen. I got a few responses. Not everybody that I sent it to responded. But it is important for us to have the correct view of what life is. Because if the premise of our understanding of life is already wrong, then whatever we try to build, obviously, will become very faulty. I think you can agree with me on that. And so, to everyone, it's important for us to have the right view about life. Having the right view about life will affect so many areas of life itself. The view you have for life will affect how you see the things that happen to you in life.
the situations, the tests, the trials, and the troubles that you face in life. Because everything that happens to us in life is viewed based on probably what our definition of life is all about. There is someone called Anais Nin who tried to interpret how we view life as human beings. And he said that life is how we live it. Life is how we live it. And Anais says, we don't see things as they are. We only see them as we are. We don't see things as they are. We only see them as we are. In other words, our perception of what life is all about is usually based on our own experiences. Man will interpret life, define life based on his personal experience, not necessarily what life is all about. Praise the Lord. So if I ask you the question today, what is your life about? The first thing probably that will come to your mind is based on what you have experienced. You interpret, you define life based on your own experiences. Hallelujah. That's why some people would define life and say life is a game. Hallelujah. Now, if your definition of life is that life is a game, winning will be important to you. If you feel that life is a party, hallelujah, having fun will be important to you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It will be important to you. If you think that life is a race, speed is what you will value. And may I add to that, that probably your favorite movie will be Fast and Furious. Because you are going to see life only in that way. Amen. So people see life in depending on what they have experienced, what life has handed over to them. Not necessarily how life is. And that was why that statement from Anais said it. We don't see things as they are. We only see them as we are. So the question is, what will be your final statement at the end of 2018? What will be your concluding statement of the year at the end of this year? How will you conclude life at the end of this year? That some things would determine what your last statement in this year will be. How you view life, praise the Lord. How you view God, it will determine what you will say. Some people at the end of the year probably will make a statement like, oh Lord, you deceived me. Lord, you tricked me. Why? Because when we are faced, whether you like it or not, you are starting this year with a lot of hopes and aspirations and with great expectations of what will happen, what you want happen. You are well energized to take the year, take it by the neck and turn it whichever way that you want in your favor. Praise the Lord. But my little experience in life, in the years that I've lived, I have come to a conclusion that the things that I desire and I aspire for and want to attain don't just fall on my laps just because I desire them. I don't know if there's a witness in the house. In my experience in life, I've come to that conclusion. Nothing just happens. And we don't take delivery of a blessing or a promise or a goal or an aspiration without a fight. There are many things you are going to fight. You are going to fight this world's conventional wisdom. You will fight against traditions of men. You will fight against the wisdom of men. You will fight against your own set mind about some things. Because every time that you believe God for something, you will have to renew your mind in order to take delivery of it. Praise the Lord. If you are going on a journey that you have never been before, you want to handle a blessing you have never handled before in life, you will have to change your mind, because it will require a new mind to take delivery of a new blessing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's why before you got born again, before you gave your life to Christ, there are ways that you acted based on whatever comes your way that you didn't like or you didn't plan for. There are ways that you probably used to get yourself out of trouble. Hello? Some people lie their ways out of trouble. Some people beg their ways out of trouble. Some people deceive others to get out of trouble. Hello? As long as you get out of trouble. Some people seduce and manipulate others to get out of trouble. But when you now give your life to Christ and your spirit has now been regenerated, the Holy Ghost is now dwelling in you as a child of God, all of a sudden, it's now almost impossible to use the same weapon you used to use to get results anymore. Because there's something in your heart that now bothering you, won't allow you to sleep, and telling you, don't go there. Hallelujah. Your conscience all of a sudden has come alive and telling you, you can't do that. You can't go there. You can't take that. Praise the Lord. Why? Because the Spirit now is there to direct your steps on the path of righteousness and holiness so that you can align yourself with the will and the plan of God for your life. Because God is holy. Be ye holy because I, God, I am holy. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. So there are many things that you and I will have to fight. Praise the Lord. So what will be your final statement? Would your final statement be, I trust you, Lord, and you came through for me? Or will your final statement at the end of 2018 will be, oh Lord, you deceived me. You tricked me. What would make someone to come to that conclusion? Because this was the statement uttered by Jeremiah. He said, Lord, you have deceived me. Another translation says, you tricked me. Can you imagine? He told God, he said, God tricked him. He said, Lord, you 419 me. What could have made Jeremiah to actually come to that conclusion? That God, the Almighty, mighty God, the holy God, is involved in 419 people. Hello? Please, don't be too quick to judge Jeremiah here. Peradventure, you might find yourself along that path. But I pray that will not be your statement. It will not be the conclusion of your life at the end of this year. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Your answer will depend on the view you hold about your life experiences this year. The view that you hold about your life experiences this year would determine whether you will say, I trusted God, or you say, God tricked me. It's the view. So what are really the views that people have? If you see or realize that life embodies expectations, in fact, you need to write that down, that life view embodies expectations, values, relationships, goals, and priorities. Life's view embodies all that. Your relationships, your goals that you have set for yourself, your priorities this year, your values, and your expectations. So it's going to affect what your conclusion in these areas at the end of the year. And we are just using 2018 as a test case. It's in every year. And praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. I'll ask another question. All these things that I have said, that if you think that life is a party, your primary value will be fun. If you think that life, of course, is a marathon, a lot of time we say it, life is a journey, life is a marathon. Why? What do you value? If you think life is a marathon, what do you value? Hello? No? If you think life is a race, you will value speed. If you think life is a marathon, you will value endurance. Because they're about to hold one marathon in Lagos State now. It's a question of endurance. Praise the Lord. It's not a 100 meters dash. So somebody who is going to run for 45 kilometers is not so much as your ability to run, but your ability to endure. Praise the Lord. Because somebody that does a marathon, if you put him to run a race of 100 meters, someone who cannot run a marathon can beat him. But put the 100 meters champion to do a marathon, he will collapse. Praise the Lord. So if you think that life is a marathon, then of course you will value endurance, because that's the way you see it. Praise the Lord. But whichever way all of this gives us, does it give us the right perspective of the view of life? Whether it's a race, whether it's a game, whether it's a marathon, whatever you may think, does it really give you an eye, the right perspective of life? Does he hand that over to us? How can we answer that question? But first, to go into the Bible and see God's view. Let's seek out and search out God's view of life. Because if my view of life does not align with God's view of life, then whatever I experience, remember, in my relationships, my goals, my priorities for this year, and all my expectations, then all those things, of course, will now determine the statement that I will make at the end of this year. Whether I will declare, oh Lord, I trusted you, you came through for me, or oh Lord, you deceived me. That's why everybody is mocking me. Praise the Lord. So Jeremiah, like we said, what could have led him? It's because, let's read the Bible. First of all, let's look at Jeremiah and the reason why he uttered that statement. In verse 7, he said, Lord, you deceived me because you are stronger than me. Hello? Now, that sounds like a statement from a man who is at his wit's end. A man who has tried everything that he knew to do, but could not get the desired result. A man who actually was laboring, but he was still not productive. And this is really important for us to catch this year, because activity does not necessarily translate to productivity. You can be active and still be unproductive. Hallelujah. Unless your activity results in productivity, your activity is in vain. The fact that a man is running does not really mean that the man is making progress. You can be running in a circle. The truth is, you are still running. So running is a common factor. It's just that the result is different. Because a man that is running forward is progressing. If I'm standing here now running around this room, does that mean I'm progressing? But someone who runs out of here and gets to the gate, he's progressing. If there is trouble here and he is running to the gate, he's about to get out of the trouble. But me, that I'm just running around the place, Be Magba, still doing like this, I'm running, but I'm really not making progress to freedom. Hello? So I don't want you this year to be involved in activity that is not translating to productivity. We often say it, whatsoever is worth doing is worth doing well. What does it mean? Let your activity result in productivity. It's as simple as that. Praise the Lord. So Jeremiah said, Lord, you deceived me. You prevailed. I don't have strength like you. You are God. You are powerful. That's why I couldn't do anything. Everyone mocketh me. You can see the way that he views life is about how he sees himself. It's about how he translates his own experiences. That's the way he saw life. And looking at what life has given unto him, obviously from what you have read, it is not a lemonade. It is a bitter lemon. So he now concluded, because for him to have said God deceived him, nobody can deceive you if they had not initially told you something. Meaning, what they said does not correspond to what you are experiencing. Hello, somebody. If somebody called you now and said, don't worry, by next week, come to my office. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you with a car, Brother Bambo. And so the car is on the way. And of course, you'll be excited. You'll be looking forward to it. You will do everything to ensure that you don't miss that appointment. Hallelujah. That you are where you are supposed to be to take delivery of that new car. If anybody said, try and see me on that day, you said, no, choose another day, because that day is already occupied. There's somewhere I'm going. I'm busy on that day. Hallelujah. So you will not give anybody chance. You clear the day of all rubbish that may want to hinder you from receiving that blessing. Then when you finally get to that day and you get to the man's office, they said he has traveled to Australia. He won't be back until next year. What do you say? He deceived me. He tricked me. Jeremiah's experience was something like that. God had told him, remember, from Jeremiah chapter 1, he said, Jeremiah, I know you are a young guy, but forget about your youth. I've given you authority. You will pull down, you will throw down, you will cast down, you will plant, you will be. Don't be afraid of their faces. Hallelujah. If you are not afraid of their faces, whatever I tell you to say, say it. Jeremiah, what do you see? He said, I see an almond tree. God said, you have seen well. Hallelujah. Now I can fulfill what I have said. And then God didn't see anything that God said. Don't be afraid of their faces. The people are mocking him. Hello, somebody. He has said so many things. He had made confessions. Hello? Like some of us, sometimes God gave you a word. You've made confessions. You have confessed. You've prayed. You believe it. You've said it with boldness, with courage, and with everything. And all of a sudden, it's like, in fact, people are laughing at you. You have become a laughing stock, because everything that you said, none of it is coming to pass. Hello? And people are now looking at you like, say, what is he saying? What is she saying? What is she talking about? So the people said to Jeremiah, he said, the guy is talking nonsense. He's talking nonsense. There's nothing that can come out from what he's saying. He's just saying it. He said this one last time. We didn't see anything. Hallelujah. So by the time he was facing God, he said, God, you tricked me. You deceived me. Yeah. This is what you told me. You told me by this year this will happen. He wasn't the only one that felt he was deceived. There was a woman in 2 Kings chapter 4. In verse 16 of that chapter 4, Elisha came and told the woman and said, by this time next year, you shall have a child. The woman told the man of God, said, stop it there. Nye mbiko. Don't lie to me. And the Bible said, in verse 15, and the woman had a child according to the word of the prophet a year after. Praise the Lord. But this same child now died. And the woman ran to Elisha. In verse 28, she said, ah, man of God, did I not tell you not to deceive me? Praise the Lord. Did I not tell you not to deceive me? You deceived me. You tricked me. He said, do you know that I didn't come to you? Oh, glory be to Jesus. Now, that freaked me out. You know, it's like you're receiving a prophecy. Not because you came and said, Lord, give me a prophecy today. But if prophecy came to you anyway, and then you are waiting, the prophecy is not coming to pass, and you now go to the man of God and say, did I come here for prophecy? Did I tell you to come and prophesy over my life? I did not. You just deceived me. Hello? But thanks be unto God. Because God is not a man that he should lie. So Elisha said, this is what is going to happen. That you may know that God is not a deceiver. It is Satan that is a deceiver. The child was brought back to life. Hallelujah. Now, what do you think will now be the statement of the woman? Will it end in, God, you deceived me? Or God, I trusted you and you came through for me? Hallelujah. So whatever your statement would be at the end of this year would depend on your view of your experiences. If you view your experiences as tests and trials, hello, then you will know that with faith, it shall come to pass. But if you do not view it as tests and trials, you are viewing it as trick and deception, then of course, God cannot be involved. You have canceled out God's power from manifesting in your situation. May that not be your portion in this year 2018, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now from the text, I have a key point that I want you to note. Number one, if you waver in your belief of what God can do, then you tend towards saying, Lord, you deceived me. If you waver in your belief of what God can do, you tend towards saying, Lord, you tricked me. But those who put their trust in God, they will not lament. They will not complain. But they will be praising God. They will be full of great expectations even for the future. Hallelujah. Psalm 25 and verse 3. Psalm 25 and verse 3. In Psalm 25 and verse 3, the Bible says, yeah, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let no one that waits on God for a promise of God to come to pass, let them not be ashamed, but let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Isaiah 49 and verse 23. Isaiah 49, verse 23. And kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee and their face toward the earth, and lick up the dust of thy feet, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that do what? That wait for thee. So anytime you wait on God, you will not be disappointed. Praise the Lord. God is not in the business of tricking his people. God is not a 419. Satan is the one that is the master of deception. Remember, that was what he started with from the garden, deceiving the woman. And through the woman, the man also got deceived. God is not in the business of saying what is beyond his performing ability. He's not going to promise you what he hasn't the ability and capability to deliver. So whatsoever you believe God for, that is according to his will, he has what it takes to bring it to pass. Praise the Lord.
Let me tell your neighbor, God is not a deceiver. Jeremiah, that's number two. Jeremiah allowed the opinions of people to define his productivity. He felt that he was unproductive because of what the people say. Because the people were mocking him. He thought what God said couldn't be it. Yeah, because of what people say. May God deliver you from people. Hallelujah. Because I have found out that the root cause of many of our troubles is not so much that you believe God for something and then you can't see it come to pass. The real problem is that we think that we are being mocked. Hallelujah. That's it. For example, talking to someone about Jesus, trying to witness to somebody that is an unbeliever, a lot of us will find it a bit difficult to talk to someone, a stranger, somebody you've never met before, even to somebody we know. When it comes, we can talk about any other subject. But when it comes to witnessing Christ, we find it so difficult. Why is that? Because we believe that if they don't accept what we say, we lose face to them. They mock us. Hallelujah. That's it. What if they abuse me if I say it? That's what you're afraid of. There's nothing else. That's it. What they will say. So he allowed the opinion of people to define his productivity. He allowed his heart to be ruled by conventional wisdom rather than God's wisdom. That's what he did. Also, if you look at the psalmist in Psalm 13, verses 1 to 6, let's quickly look at that. Psalm 13. Psalm 13, verses 1 to 6. Now, if you look at verses 1 to 2, hear what the psalmist says. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Those were his thoughts. He was complaining because he allowed the opinion and what people are doing. Remember, we talked about it. His own experiences. That's how he viewed life. He defined his own life by what he was experiencing. What was he experiencing? He said, people are exalted over him. And so he was complaining. It's a complaint. How long? Lord, you are just looking. And all these things are happening to me. Everybody is being promoted. They didn't promote me. Hello. All the people are exalted over me. And nothing is happening. It was a complaint. Verses 3 and 4. He says, consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed against him. And those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. It's always about what people think. It's always about what people will say. It's always about how people will define you. What will the people say? Hello? So 3 and 4, it was petitioning. But it's still based on conventional wisdom, the wisdom of this world. Verse 5, he says, but, Let somebody say, but I trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. Now, after he has come to his wit's end, he now discovered that, well, you know, sometimes when you are throwing tantrums, God won't even answer. You won't hear a word. He won't say anything. Go fasting, do whatever you do. He will not talk. Then when you now get back, you know, it's like when your child, a little child, does something and you slap the hand of the child, he will cry, he will run away. Then he will be coming back slowly, gradually. It's you he's still coming back to. Hello? He still wants to be pacified, not by anybody else, but the same person. The accuser is the same person. The mommy that spanked his hand up, spanked the bonbon, he will still come back and say, then the mom will say, okay. You see. After all he said, the psalmist said and done, he now said, but I trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So in verse 6, of course, after the verse 5, of course, that was an affirmation of his trust in God. And verse 6 is a vow that he will praise God. So he said, I will sing unto the Lord because he had dealt bountifully with me. May that be your statement at the end of this year. Amen. That God will give you a new song to sing. Amen. And that you will confess that he has dealt bountifully with you. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. So what's the conclusion of what I'm saying today? We need to understand that in God's view, life is a triumphing of your faith. That's the way God sees it. It's about faith. And that's why what we have read is talking about trusting God. Trusting God. If you look at Jeremiah also, at the end, in verse 11, Jeremiah 20, he said, but the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Hallelujah. Therefore, my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. Praise the Lord. He began to encourage himself. And that has always been the central theme of Jeremiah's life. That the Lord is with me. No matter what that life brings your way, understand today that the Lord is with you. Amen. So God's view of life, as the Bible teaches us, from what we have read in that Jeremiah, from what he has told us in the book of Psalms, and the experience of the psalmist himself in 13, and the experience of that woman in 2 Kings chapter 4, is that life is a triumphing of your faith. And there is no need for faith if you are not facing a trial. Hallelujah. So if someone defines life, or their view of life is that life is a test, they are not really wrong. But I personally like to talk about the end result, because that's what the Bible teaches us. Remember Romans chapter 4. It says, calling the things that be not as though that they are. Because if you say life is a test, everybody will see trouble in everything. It's only trouble they see. Hallelujah. They will not see beyond the trouble. They will not see that there is a blessing after the trouble. Hello? So that's why I would choose to, rather than use test, I would say life
is the triumphing of my faith. That's the way God sees it. May your faith triumph this year. May your trust in God produce results of your dreams this year. In the mighty name of Jesus. Is somebody getting something from this? We ought to see life as God sees it. As a triumphing of your faith and not a trick from God to get at you. Hallelujah. Not a trick from God to get at you. God wants to punish me. That's why. And you know, that's why a lot of people really don't know God. Before you gave your life to Christ, maybe you have said it before. Maybe you are passing on the road and somebody is driving. And then there's water on the floor. And the puddle of water, the thing just splashed on your dress. Isn't God punish you? Hello? How many of you have said that? To thy own self be true. God punish you. Because that is the view of God they have. A punisher. Hallelujah. It's perception. Amen. And a man that is continually saying, God punish you, God punish you. Ask that man, do you want God to punish you? Because you don't always do what is right. And they say, God, don't punish. But you say you should punish somebody. Hallelujah. No wonder Jesus said, even to those who despitefully use you, bless them. Thank you, Jesus. It's such a powerful thing when you bless people. When somebody comes to you and say, you just bless the person back. It's a powerful thing. John 16:33, and I close there. John 16:33. That's my conclusion. Did you get something from this? It's so important. Today's message is a very important message. Let it mark your life. Let it mark your life. You tell yourself, what at the end of this year, what is going to be my confession? What's going to be my testimony? It's predictable by the view you have of the experiences that come your way. Praise the Lord. Are you there? Please read. Yes, sir. That in me you might have peace. So God is speaking to somebody in this place. So that this year, no matter what comes your way, that you might have peace. That's why God is bringing this message to you. Yes. In this world, whether you like it or not, there are trials, stress, and troubles, and tribulations. Yeah? He said, look here. No matter the challenge that you face in this year, this should be your confession. And say, Jesus has already overcome this problem on my behalf. Therefore, you challenge, I am an overcomer when it comes to you. I've already overcome you. Yes. Praise the Lord. You declare. The challenge is the mountain. Face the mountain. Don't run away from it. You've got what it takes to level the mountain. The word of God. And Jesus says, you be cheerful. He didn't say be sad. Hello? He didn't say fold your hands and feel sorry for yourself. He didn't say go and hold a pity party. He didn't say be bitter. Because he knows that there is no way you can be bitter and better at the same time. You cannot be powerful and be pitiful at the same time. Praise the Lord. So you need to talk. Speak to your mountain this year. And that mountain will be leveled in front of you. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Jesus says, peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Hallelujah. But I give to you peace. Be of good cheer, for I have already overcome in this world. He promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He told the disciples, I am with you always. Glory be to Jesus. So as you go on the journey of life this year, know and understand everything that he has said to you. Be cheerful. I am with you always. My peace I give unto you. Hallelujah. I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's always there. And when you take his word in your situation, in your circumstance, then you be assured that at the end of this year, you will not be in the company of the people that will say, God deceived me. You will be in the company of people that will say, I trusted God and it came through for me. Rise on your feet.